Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
We're going to talk a little bit about some things that's happening in Bitcoin, happening in other things, you know, talk about a lot of stuff. I want to talk about a few things, but before we start, I want to tell a little story. I like to tell stories. I feel like it's a way to convey concepts very well. I know I put in a thing, crypto was a scam, but I'm going to go ahead and start with that because a lot of people are here to listen about that. Like over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've heard so many people say crypto was a scam. But it's two types of people that are saying it's a scam. One are the people who are very emotional people who listen to what the media and everybody around you tell you. The second people are the naysayers. They're actually happy that crypto's down. Now, I've seen people completely angry when anybody even mentions Bitcoin. That's a scam. I argue with people in the street, angry. Why would you be that emotionally invested in something you don't care about? There's investments out there that I don't think are good investments. I don't really like Forex that much. I don't like network marketing companies, you know, but when somebody comes to me and says, Armando, I just joined Amway. I don't get angry. I don't scream at them. I don't go completely nuts. Right? I just say, man, yeah, that's great for you, man. I'm glad. I hope it works out for you. And I walk away. Now, why would the people be so angry, so happy, so emotionally involved one way or another that it went down is because they were mad because they didn't get in on it. And then secondly, is these people want to see the world burn. They don't, some of them are rich. They don't want to see nobody else get rich. The other people don't want to see anybody else get rich because they're afraid. They don't want to get in any investments. They don't want to take any risks. So when people did take those risks, got way up in crypto, a lot of people got mad, angry, frightened that those people were beating them. And then when it crashed a little bit, they got happy. Now let's look at the history of crypto. In the pandemic, it was $3,000. At the beginning of pandemic, April of 2020, crypto was $3,500. Right today, it's at $18,000. And people are saying it crashed. It's down. It's over. Because something retracts 65, 70%. The stock market is down 40% right now. Nobody's saying anything about that. Real estate prices dropped by 56% in some places in 2008. Nobody's saying anything about that. Nobody ever said that real estate was over. I had a conversation yesterday with somebody I know. And I was talking about Bitcoin, talking about cryptocurrency, trying to get them involved. And they looked at me and said, but it's down. I don't understand. And I said, well, that's the market cycle. That's the way things work. It's a 4-year cycle. Every market has it, including real estate, stocks, cryptocurrency, gold, all has the 4 stages of the market cycle, which we're going to talk about later on in this episode. He said, but the media says that this time is different. It's not going to come back. And I responded, I said, they say that in every single crash, every single Bitcoin crash, every single real estate crash, every single stock market crash, they tell you that this time's different because they got to keep you afraid and get you out of the market so that their rich friends, buddies, and wealthy and the rich can get in and buy your assets cheap. And you sit back and let them do it time and time and time again. It gets me angry. Gets me mad, but we're going to talk about that a little later. I want to start with a story because in a down market, there's actually good opportunity, right? And I'm going to tell you a story that I've heard in the past. And it's a good story about taking time away, taking time back, learning, and sharpening your skills. Now, I heard of a story growing up. I don't know if it was real or fake. I don't know, but I heard it. Of two lumberjacks in a lumberjack camp. You know, before automation, before seesaws, you know, this is back in the 1800s, 1700s. This is a story that I heard from some people. You got two lumberjacks, right? And in this particular lumberjack camp, they were the best lumberjacks in the whole camp. So there was always a lot of arguments, always a lot of bets, always a lot of contention, trying to figure out which of the two was actually the best lumberjack in the camp. So half people would say the first one was. The other half would say Jack. Half people would say Jack was. The other half said Mike was. So it was Jack and Mike, right? So one day they said, we need to settle this. We need to figure out who is actually the best lumberjack in this camp. So we're going to do a competition. So we're going to let Jack and Mike compete against each other the entire day. And whoever has the most wood at the end of the day is considered the champion and the best lumberjack in his camp forever. So, of course, all the other lumberjacks put their bets down. They argued for the days leading up to it on who was going to win. Would it be Jack? Would it be Mike? Would it be a tie? Who's better? This guy's stronger or this guy's faster? All of the same things that we argue when it comes to sports. Same things. And, you know, it was a great way for the lumberjacks to pass the time leading up to the main event. So the main event comes. The day starts. They put each of these lumberjacks in two separate forests, right? So Jack starts. Boom, 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 boom. Each has an axe, right? That's all you can use is an axe, right? So Jack just works. During the first hour, he hears Mike saw every time he hits the tree with an axe, he hears the same boom, boom, boom in the other forest. Almost hit for hit. Boom, boom, boom. After the first hour, he hears Mike's sound stop. He's like, what? Is Mike already tired? I thought this guy was a good lumberjack. He's already tired after the first hour. I'm going to keep going. Jack keeps going. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not going to stop all day. I'm going to keep pushing through it, and I'm going to beat Mike. 15 minutes later, you hear Mike start up again. Jack's laughing. He's not going to beat me, man. He can't even make it an hour. The next hour passes. Same thing happens. The sounds from Mike Forrest stop. So Jack gets even more confident. Come on, man. This guy can't keep up with me. He can't even keep up the first 2 hours. So this goes on and on during the day. Every hour, Mike stops, but Jack keeps going. At the end of the day, Jack is exhausted. But in his mind, he thinks, I had to have beat Mike because I went all day nonstop. So they both go back to the meeting place. He looks at Mike's pile. It's twice as big as Jack's. And Jack is completely confused. What happened? I don't understand. How did this dude beat me? I mean, I didn't stop all day. He was confused. I didn't understand what was going on. So he went to Mike. And he asked Mike, how did you beat me, man? I heard you stop. And Mike said, every hour I stopped to sharpen my axe. That's why I beat you. I heard you going and I was thinking about you. How is this dude going to beat me? He hasn't sharpened his axe at all. That's what I was confused about all day. How is he going to, I knew you was going to lose because every 15 minutes I stopped to sharpen my axe, I heard you kept going. And I thought there was no way you would ever beat me because you never stopped. You never sharpen your axe. Now, the reason we say this is because now in the downturn in the market is a perfect chance to sharpen your axe, to understand what's going on, to retake some of the classes you take, me or whoever else, right? To sharpen your skills, to even in the job market, it's the way to double down and make yourself more valuable in the job market. You know, this is a great opportunity for that. Sometimes you have to stop and sharpen your axe, right? Somebody asked, did I lose all my money in crypto? Nah, I was just using that as a way to make people understand is that I bought my first Bitcoin in 2011 for $80. I've never been down. Even though the market's been up and down, I first got on Instagram talking about Bitcoin, it was at $1,000. When I first really started pushing it during the pandemic, it was at $3,000. We're still way up if you got that $3,000. It's all relative. Nobody's down. If you bought it at $3,000, it's $18,000. You up six times, 600%. So how are you losing? Over the long term, if you bought Bitcoin, you had it for over 4 years, you're winning. It's a long play. It's not a short play. And that's what the people don't understand, right? Now, if somebody says I got in the game late, no, you didn't. It's like you got into the internet. It's like you got into the internet in 98. Internet was out since 92. That's like you getting into internet in 2000. You got to remember, the internet started as we know it today. It was out longer than that, but the World Wide Web as we know it today started in 1992. Google didn't take over to like 2003, 2004, 14 years after, 12 years after the internet started. So the major players, Google was a small three-person company 11 years after the internet started, and it grew into what it is today. So you, what if Google would have said, oh man, the internet's been out 10 years, the World Wide Web as we know it's been out 10 years, so we're not even going to try, we're too late. You're never too, technology takes 20 years to integrate to society. You're way very early, actually, in crypto in general. So I want to talk about another thing. Like we talked about, is that go back to that same story of these people either reveling in the fact that Bitcoin's slightly down. You know, to be honest, if you look at the long-term charts, Bitcoin is slightly down. All the way up to 2020, Bitcoin never passed over 20,000. So it passed over 20,000 at the end of 2020. It went over 20,000 for 2 years and came back down. And everybody's reveling in it, saying it's over. Well, most of Bitcoin's history, it's never been above 20,000. 20,000 was, and when I first started, where was it today? Well, it seemed like it would never come. It seemed like it was impossible. It's way up from where we started. We go back to 2000. Let's say we go back to 2017. Bitcoin started the year at 1,000. Go back the year before that, it started at 300. It's at 18,000 a day, and people are saying it's down. Sad. The media has you. You've been bamboozled. And they continually play you every 4 years. Every 4 years, the general population gets played. So that the people who own the banks, the Jeff Bezos, who is trying to buy major media outlets now, or Bill Gates, who owns MSNBC, or used to own MSNBC. Have you ever thought to yourself, why do billionaires try to buy media outlets? Have you ever thought about that? Why would Jeff Bezos have any kind in buying of newspapers or buying media outlets? Why? Think about that. Why do billionaires own the media outlets? I'm trying to get you guys to think. And where you can get outside of that thinking that the world has you stuck in, that's where the real wealth is, outside the system. The system has you in its control. The rich, the wealthy, and the elite live outside that system where they can navigate without the burden of emotions. If you're inside that system, controlled by emotion, controlled by the narratives, you're one of the sheep that they use to make the world as they see fit. You're either inside or you outside. And a lot of y'all got to make that decision today. People, when we're in the CNC, we're outside that system. And it's not money. Money don't get you outside. See, there's a lot of rich people still in the system. It's the mindset and the ability to think outside the box is what gets you outside that system. That's four cycles. We talk about them constantly of the market cycles. That's four: accumulation, markup, distribution, markdown. It's been like that for 100 years. And as long as you can recognize the cycles, we're probably at the end of markdown. We're probably in the downtrend markdown right now. So accumulation phase will probably start early next year for the next 18 months, crypto and stocks. Stocks has been an accumulation phase for a while now, for like 6 months. Stocks is a little bit ahead of crypto, but there's going to be a markup phase in stocks here soon, probably middle of next year, because the rich, the elite, and the banks are buying up everything right now. Right now, they're buying it. Right where y'all are scared, don't want to trade stocks, they're buying it right now. Then when it goes up, they're going to sell those stocks they bought right to you. And then they'll market it and make sure you know it, that that's good. You know, you need to get into the stock market right now. Right now, I want to talk about a stock that I think, and then we're going to talk about dividend stocks, but I want to talk about a stock, and I want to talk about something that happens in downturns that we could take advantage of. Whenever there's a recession, I was talking to somebody about this a couple of weeks ago. You have to understand how these market cycles can make you rich. Just understanding four concepts of the market cycle, because by understanding what happens in each cycle, you become rich because you know what's coming next, right? At the beginning of recessions, companies overspend on advertising. And it's simple. It's because what they did before don't work no more. So they panic and think advertising is the way to go. So they, to get the same amount of customers they had a few months ago, they start advertising more because they got more expenses, more overhead. And then what happens is they realize that advertising ain't working no more and advertising drops. And then all of a sudden, a lot of companies who base their entire revenue on ads start dropping as well. Like Meta. It used to be Facebook, but it's called Meta. Right? So Meta, over the next few months, they're probably going to drop a lot in value because people are going to spend less on their platforms. And then they're going to, then the value, then the revenue is going to go down. It's going to leave Meta at a low amount. But when the economy comes back, as soon as at the beginning of an economic, right in the middle of an economic upturn, people overspend on ads. And that's where those companies like Meta shoot up to the sky. So over the next few months is a great time to buy Meta. They actually have good fundamentals. They got good numbers. They got good technicals, everything, really. It's just that they're kind of taunting this downtrend. And Mark Zuckerberg spending a lot of money in the metaverse, which I think is going to pay off in the long term anyway. So I believe that Meta is something I'm going to start accumulating end of this year, early next year. So, a few things I want to talk about still. Talk about XRP. And I want to talk about a few dividend stocks and what dividend stocks are. So, XRP, there's some rumors out right now that XRP could be ending the lawsuit this month. And there's a lot of analysts that say if this lawsuit does come to an end in this month, we could see a hard, hard movement upwards in XRP. And I still believe it. I believe that XRP, even at today's Bitcoin market, at today's crypto market, XRP should be $4. In today's crypto market, XRP should be $4. And right now it's like 40 cents. It's 90% less than where it should be. Now, if a settlement happens, if the SEC loses this case, which I strongly believe they will, I think it's a frivolous lawsuit, we can expect, I'm not saying, it may not happen extremely fast, but it'll happen. XRP is going back to that $4 mark. And once that happens, a lot of people are going to make a lot of money. And this is, to be honest, this is not long term, because let's say over the next 4 years, we still got the entire crypto market to bring it up some more. You can expect, a lot of analysts say XRP could be at $40, $50 on the next Bitcoin, you know, next markups phase in the Bitcoin market cycle in 2024, 25. So you're talking about 100 times potential gain. The last chance in crypto history to do this. Every other opportunity is gone. Bitcoin's not going up 100 times from where it's at today. That'd be too much money. Would it be $20 million? Let me see. It ain't going to be $20 million in Bitcoin. Probably, yeah, that's very difficult to say because Bitcoin's already received a lot of attention. Yeah, let me see. That's 2 million. That could get there, but it could actually in the next 10 years. Ethereum could go up 100 times, but XRP could go up to it in a shorter period time period because it's artificially deflated. And if that, I'm telling you, man, it's the last opportunity. I'm not saying don't listen to me. I'm just some dude on Instagram. Go do your own research. Figure it out on your own. I just want to be the one that sparks the idea. I don't want to be the one telling you to buy it. I'm buying it, but I don't want to be the one telling you. But I want to spark an idea and you can read. You may look at it and say, I don't believe in it and don't invest in it. But at least at least keep an open mind and just take a look at it. That's all I ask. So last thing I want to talk about on this Strategy Sunday session is about the ability to execute and understanding credit scores. Young man came to me and he said, Armando, what should I do? I want to build wealth. He's only 21. Armando, I want to build wealth. I want to go on down the wealth building journey with you. So I've been online a lot and I see that credit scores are very important. Credit score, I have to get a good credit score to be rich. I think I have to work on my credit first. He kept going. Every time I said something, he went back to credit. I can't get business loans without credit. I can't get real estate loans without credit. I have to work on my credit. I kept telling you, man, don't let that stop you. Then finally, I got to the point and I had to break it down to him. And I said, credit scores, even though they're important. Now, I'm going to say it again. Even though credit scores are important, it's no impediment to stop you from being rich. And I'm going to be very vulnerable here. I had less than a 550 credit score till I was 31. I still made six figures. I still became a multimillionaire. I still got rich. And then when I got rich, I used the money to fix my credit score. Credit scores are not as important. Even though they are important, they're not as important as people put them. You can get rich with a low credit score. You just got to be creative. You just got to hustle a little harder. A lot of people got low credit scores. They think that stops everything. No, it's just a small setback, yes. But it's not going to stop you. Now, I had bad credit because I'll tell you the story because I want to make sure you know. I'll tell you the story. So I'll tell you the story why I had bad credit. Nobody I knew ever had a credit card, right? So I go to college. I'm 19 years old. And the people around my age that went to college, they're going to say the same thing. They used to give credit cards away like they was candy. So I walked on the campus first day. Somebody had Discover card. Say, hey, man, we giving credit cards out. And they used to trick people back. There was a money machine, right? So you get into this money machine, you can grab as much dollars as you want. But the only thing is that however many dollars you got, they would give you that on your credit card for free. So if I grabbed like $50, I'd get a $50 credit on my credit card. So I'd sign up for my credit card, got my credit card, had $1,000. I put on there zero income. I had no job at the time. So 2 weeks later, I got a credit card. I'm 19 years old, never had a credit card. It was a place called CD Now. I bought a bunch of CDs, bought a leather jacket, bought a bunch of stuff, never paid one payment. And my credit was ruined the day I got one. And I shouldn't have done that, I know. But I know that was a bad mistake. But I was 18 years old. I mean, come on, man. So 7 years of bad credit, all the way I was 25. Okay, so then I'm in college, didn't understand how credit worked. I didn't understand how credit worked. So I ran up student loan debt, a lot of it. Because in my mind, I thought, I'm never going to pay this back. Got out of school, went and played basketball overseas, did all this other stuff. I was out of the country. I never got back then, you know, it wasn't a lot, you know, like it is today. It was automatic. You can go online and do it. I didn't know anything about it. Just went away. Came back. I was in default. So I got all that fixed or whatever. That's another 7 years. I'm 25, 7 years of bad credit, so I'm 32. So it only took two things. One thing, two things. And then, you know, I had bad credit the whole time. So then now I start learning about credit, do it. But I still was able to get a six-figure job, acquire real estate, build businesses and sell them, and became a multimillionaire by the time I was 34. All with a below 550 credit score. And it's a lot of us that have that same story. Now, when you can, fix the credit. When you can do it, get that credit fixed. But don't let that be, oh, man, you know, I got a 480. I'll never be nothing. I just got to give up. No, that's what the system wants you to do. You just got to be more creative about it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling anybody to have bad credit. I'm just saying that it's other ways to do stuff, right? And as soon as I could, like I said, as soon as I got the money, I fixed the credit. Hired lawyers and got it fixed. Money fixes anything. So if I had the choice, I'd rather have the money than the credit. You know, that's why you see a lot of these people saying, would you rather have an 800 credit score or $2 million? Get the $2 million, you can fix your credit. I mean, that's what you know, people don't understand. Money fixes anything. There's a saying by the CEO of Larry Page, the CEO of Google. He says, revenue solves all problems. So last thing I want to talk about is a few dividend stocks I see potential with, and we're going to talk a little bit about dividend stocks and what they are. Now, that's in a down market, dividends actually pay out at a higher rate because the stocks are down. And if the company still are fundamentally strong, you actually can get good deals on dividend stocks. I'm going to give you a good example. Let's say Walmart was trading at 100 during the up cycle, right? And Walmart paid a $3 dividend per share. Now, that was per share, not per dollar, per share. So if you got one share of Walmart stock, you get $3. So if the stock's $100, you're getting 3% a year, right? That's what it, for those of you who know what a dividend is, dividend is a stock that pays out to the owners of that stock, portions or whatever of the company's revenue, more or less, more probably profit. They pay out the company's profit for those who own the shares, because if you're a shareholder, you're technically an owner. You own part of that company, so you receive your profits like if you were an owner, because you are an owner. And not all stocks do that. Some are growth stocks. They don't do that. But dividend stocks have already finished growing, so they're just paying out dividends to their stock owners, right? So every stock you get a certain amount of dollars per stock based on how much that company made or that year, right? Or that quarter or whatever their period is, they pay out the dividends. So let's say you got Walmart at $100, right? And it's $3 per share. $3 per share Walmart's paying out. They've been paying out $3 a share for 5 years, let's say. And then let's say the stock market crashes. Walmart drops 50%. But Walmart's still a strong company. Recessions actually help Walmart. So now they continue paying out that $3 per share, but you only paid $50 for the stock. So the yield on that is just doubled. So now you're making 6% per share. Because you only paid $50 to get in. At first, you paid $100 to get in and got $3 back. Now you paid $50 again, you're still getting that same $3, so it's a higher dividend yield. And the stock could return to where it was before, and you continue to get that dividend yield every time, every quarter, every year or whatever they pay out their dividend. So it's a great time to buy dividend stocks. Another thing is that people don't realize about that. Like if I buy Walmart stock and I sell it in less than a year, I got to pay regular income tax, which could be as high as 40%, if not higher. But a dividend pays out at the highest you could possibly pay. Most people pay about 10% because you know how people say the rich people don't pay taxes or pay lower taxes because they buy all their stocks using dividend. They buy all their money comes from either company investments or dividend producing stocks. Those two things have a lower tax burden than everything else. 10% in some cases, 12%. That's why the millionaires pay less taxes. Billionaires pay less tax because they use dividends to produce income, then they have less tax burden because of the way that they make their money. Not how much they make, it's the way. So there's a few companies out there that are producing. One, I'm just going to tell you one, ExxonMobil, I think is doing well. And I think that's a good dividend stock to get into. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. It's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.